I'm falling in love with this story of Matthew over and over again. And because when I sit down and read it, I see it's so true what's happening in the world today. You see, Jesus comes on the scene and gives you the nice story of his birth and the wise men and going to Egypt and these things. And then he starts off and he's tempted and he goes, and one of the first things he does, he goes up to the mountainside and he talks to the people. He gives a sermon on the mount. That's the first, from chapter 5, 6, 7, and on and on. And he's just telling people how things should be. He says, the kingdom of heaven is now. There's no more waiting. Kingdom of heaven is here. And everyone's like, talk about something landing with a doesn't take off. It's here. Are you excited? No, right? They're not, is this it? What's it like? And you see, watch, he says. See, watch this man, he's got leprosy, and I'm king of heaven's going to touch him, and he's well. You see what it's like? There's no more pain. Someone dies, I'm going to raise him. I'm going to raise the widow of Zarephath, his son. Get up. Don't be sad anymore. See what I'm doing? See what it's like? There's no more death. There's no more pain. There's no more 5,000 people are hungry. Here's food for everyone. That's gone. You see what it's like? And John the Baptist is like, I don't get it. Is there something more? Is this it? Is this all there is? Remember, I was raising the fuss and everything, and now I'm in prison, and what's happening? What's it like? What is the kingdom of heaven like? Show me something. The religious leaders say, show us a sign. Prove yourself. Do something amazing. And he says, no. You know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you the resurrection, and you have to wait for it. It's 3 years away. You want me to show you something? You'll see nothing till you see that. That's what you're going to get. People today still say that, don't we? We have friends. How can you prove God is real? How can you prove Jesus was who he said he was? It's been done. I can show you nothing good moving forward. I can only tell you what was done. He was crucified. He was dead for 3 days, and he rose. And if you believe in him, you have a place in heaven. That's it. It's it. That's it. Now what? Now what's the kingdom of heaven like? It's a place where there's no pain, because we're helping those we love. It's a place where there's no hunger because we're feeding them. Right, Diane? What day is it? August 10th? August 10th. We're going to feed some because they need it. So be here on that day, 3 o'clock, to help out, please. And thank you for your financial contributions. Doing great? We're doing great. Thank you. Last time, I totally forgotten. Like court. Some things you need to remember. Feeding people and going to court. There's important things. You can skip a vet. That'll save you money. What's it like? What is heaven, the kingdom of heaven, supposed to be like? And Jesus speaks in parables. This is where we take something familiar to explain something unfamiliar. What's it like? It's like this. What is the kingdom of heaven like this? Matthew 13, verse 24. I had to switch websites because they wouldn't give me the verse numbers. Like, you got to pay extra for the verse numbers? Come on. I need those. 24. And we say those so you can follow along. So I'm not tricking you, Robbie, right? If I say Matthew 13, 24, you can look it up for yourself, right? No, we're not fooling nobody. We had a little talk earlier about this. But Jesus told them another parable. He said, here's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a man who sowed good seed in his field, and he just finished explaining to him about what the seed was, and it's the word of God, and there's four different types of people. There's people who are hardened, their hearts are hardened. You throw the good seed to them, and it doesn't grow, and the birds come, and they take it away, or it's shallow soil, or it's rocky soil, but then there's good soil. There's the good stuff where it grows. I can't even grow a green bean in my yard, and that should not be hard. The rotten squash from last year, I threw it in the compost pile, it comes up, right? But the green beans where you want them, they don't come up. The deer are going to eat them anyway. It's like a man who sowed good seed in his field. And while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and he went away. That little picture, that creepy picture I gave you in the bulletin, did you see it, Fran? See that guy with chicken legs walking around? Well, who is that? This is from the 1520s. And some artist in Europe took the time to paint that picture of that is the demon, that is the devil. And he's planting the bad seed amongst the good. When the wheat sprouted and it formed heads, then the weeds also appeared at the same time. We've seen this. You ever walk by your backyard where you feed the birds and you see corn growing up? It's not corn, is it? What is it? Sorghum. It's the cheap sorghum they put in the bird seed to give you to buy it. All the birds want are the sunflower seeds, right? They're very bougie, though, my cardinals and everyone. They just want the cracked corn. They just want the... They don't want that sorghum. They let it just sit there, and it grows up. It looks like corn, and I get excited. I say, hey, we're going to have corn this year, but it's not corn. It's just sorghum. And so the weeds grow up, and they look like wheat, and it's called darnel. It's also called, what's another word for it? The tares. It's also called zinzinia. That's all I know. And so it looks like wheat, but it isn't wheat. You don't know it until it gets big. The wheat sprouted, forms heads, and also the weeds came up. And the owner's servants came to him, Jesus said, and said, sir, did you not grow so good seed in your field? Then where did the weeds come from? And he said, an enemy did this. The servants asked him, do you want us to go and to pull them up? And he said, no, because while you're pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat also. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the harvesters this. First, collect the weeds and tie them in a bundle to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn. He goes on to tell a few more parables. And he says, listen, you know what it's also like? The kingdom of heaven is like this. Here's a parable you might understand. It's the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which is very, very tiny. And he took it and he planted it in his field. Though it's the smallest of seed, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree. So that the birds come and they perch in its branches, you see. Here's another one. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. My yeast just died the other day. I don't know what to do now. We're so upset. We're going to have to... 112 years old. My house, 6 months. I killed it. Got to go get some more. Where are my sourdough people? Huh? Nobody. Then you wouldn't understand. It's so sad. I got to order more. 110 and I killed it. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through it. That's a lot of bread. Jesus spoke to all these things in parables, and he did not say anything without using a parable because he's kind of dumbing it down for us, isn't he? And that's okay because it fulfills the prophecy. It fulfills Psalm 78 as Jesus says, I've come to fulfill the law, not to break it. I will open my mouth in parables, says the psalmist, and I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. And then he left the crowd and he went into a house. This is understandable. After yesterday, I'm super charming. You know that, right? For like two, 3 hours, and I'm really God. I put it all out there and then I'm done. I've had it with the world, right? Anyone else do this? I got to go home and hide. I got to jump in bed or do something. No, but he needs to leave. He's getting worn out. He needs just to be somewhere private. So his disciples came to him and said, Jesus, explain it to us. And Jesus is so kind and nice, he does explain it to him. He told him this story about the weeds. Explain this parable, please, Jesus. And he said, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. It's me. And the field is the world, you see? And the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. And they will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them listen. It's not easy to follow Jesus, is it? The world tells you all you need is love and acceptance of other people. no matter what they're like. And Jesus says, well, he's going to tell the good soil what it needs. It needs the good seed, and the enemy, Satan's going to come along and plant things next to us. But he tells us this hard lesson here. It's not our job to go ripping up the bad seeds, is it? Do we go and we tear them up ourselves? It's this lovely garden he's created, and the things are coming up good and bad together. So what do we make of this? Should we not tell the weeds they're doing bad? We should, shouldn't we? We should show them what it means to be wheat. What does wheat produce at the end? A kernel full of food, right? More than what the one seed was. One seed will give you 50, 60 more pieces of grain which you can eat, which sustains the bread of life. And so here we are. We grew up with people, and we're sitting next to those who we may think are evil. And what do we do with that? Do we destroy them? Or do we let God take his time? Because there is time. I was thinking of this, and it kind of left me like, what am I going to do with this? What do we do with the one? We think we're pretty good, right? Everyone good here? Are you a wheat or you're a weed, Fran? You got. I hope you're wheat, right? Don't hope. Be wheat, right? But we are wheat. But are we good fruit or are we weeds? So we don't even know. Maybe we don't know ourselves. So, but we want a chance. And so I thought about, how am I going to tell? What am I going to say? So I said, well, let the Bible do the talking, right? Because, and I hope I printed it. Oh, thank goodness I did. I have a printer that it's supposed to print, but it doesn't print on Sundays. I don't know how it knows I need it really to print. So we always print the bulletin on Saturday, because Sunday it's like, not going to work today until you unhook me and blow in the thing. And it's not even hooked in. It's wireless now. You know, it just goes. And then it says, nope, not today. Not my job. But then it did. But you see in the book of Revelation, the wheat and the tares are growing up together and were harvested at once. And here it says in Revelation 20, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, just like Jesus says, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. What is he going to do? He's going to seize the dragon. He's going to seize that serpent from the garden, who is the devil, who is Satan. And he's going to bind him over for 1,000 years, he says. He's going to throw him into the abyss, and he's going to lock it and seal it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations for 1,000 years. There's going to be 1,000 years of peace, it says, when Jesus comes back, right? So here we have the wheat, the tares, the good people and the evil people come growing up together. And who's to decide who's right from wrong? And what's he going to do with the one who planted all the evil in the world? Lock him away for 1,000 years. Then what? Do you see what he says next? Listen, when 1,000 years were over, 1,000 years of peace are done, Satan will be released from the prison. He gets what? A second chance. Do you see that? Even Satan is given a chance to change. But does he? And he's going to go out and he's going to deceive the nations on all the corners of the earth and to gather them for battle against God. No, he's not going to change. He's given 1,000 years to think about it. And he says, nope, no, I'm stuck in this abyss. I still want my way. I have my pride. I'm going to do things my way. I'm going to go to battle against God. In number, they're like the sand on the seashore. But good thing about Abraham's people, they too are like the sand. We are a multitude. They march across the earth, and they surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire comes down from heaven, the fire that's being harvested, as Jesus said, and devours them. And the devil who deceived them, he's thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. And they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever. God promised a one man walking through the desert, put his head down on a stone for a pillow, and he opened up heaven. Do you see what it's like? There's a stairway. You can, angels up and down, and this is your future. You can choose this. Do you want this? Do you want to see heaven come down to earth? And you go up to heaven. It's one place. It's got New Jerusalem coming down, and you have a choice to make. Are you going to be the good seed? Or are you going to be the hardened seed that doesn't take the seed? Or are you going to be shallow where you like the word of God and it excites you, but then it fades away when things don't happen in your time? When are they going to happen? Abraham waits 100 years to have a son. 110, whatever it was, and he waits. The Pharisees are waiting. We want to see a sign. He says, you'll see a sign. I'm going to give you one. My resurrection. That's the sign. That's all we need. Then I saw for the great white throne and him who was seated on it, and the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were open. Another book was open, and that was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done. The sea gave up the dead, and the dead in Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death is gone, and Hades is gone, and it's thrown also into the fire. So what's left of death and hate are gone? What is left? There is love and life in heaven only. And the lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Boy, that's a little scary, isn't it? Sorry, Don, did I scare your kids? You girls all right? You got Jesus, right? Boy, I'm sorry I had to do that, but I didn't know how to finish this story. There's good and there's bad, and what do we do with the ones that are bad? We need to be next to them, encourage them, showing them, rebuking our neighbor. We don't like to do that, do we? That's uncool. People know, I sit there and I watch this show called Grantchester. It's about this Anglican priest, and he's real handsome, and he drinks too much, and he chases women, and He's no role model, okay? I'm too old for that, but he is handsome, and maybe they thought of me when they cast him. I don't know. He looks just like my nephew. He looks like Joey, Josie. You remember my nephew Joey? He's a handsome fellow, but not with the red hair. Then the next guy comes because the storyline ends, and they get another handsome guy, and they say everyone needs to live their truth. And I go, if we weren't married, Jim, and we went home, we would eat like fried chicken every day, right? And drink beer and watch sports. Wait for the Eagles. And see, that's no way to live, right? We gotta, we would never mow our grass. I mow my grass because I know it makes my wife happy. I couldn't care if it was 10 feet tall. I couldn't care if the house get cleaned. The litter boxes would be changed every 6 to 8 months, whether they need it or not. Just dump more. Go here. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'd like to do. I like to sit around and do nothing and gain even more weight. Ice cream, National Ice Cream Day. Every day is Ice Cream Day, Robbie. But I have to live with certain God. God has called me to do something different. I would like to take Sundays off and just do nothing. But God called me to share his word on these days. When people call me and say, can you do a funeral on Saturday? Yes. I would let each and every one of you down if I said no. We've had a lot lately. It's not what I want. It's what he wants. And he wants us to live the good. And there is evil, and evil is always given a second chance, isn't it? And we need to show him what it means to follow Jesus. To be a light, to be salt of the earth, to be a light on the hill that's not covered up. You see, because we know our future is determined. He told us what's going to happen. We can sit in paradise and walk on those streets of gold and eat from that tree that gives us 12 different kinds of fruit, drink from the river of life, have bread of life, come to the big celebration, be the bride of Jesus, wear white. Or we can sit in the abyss because we choose it. What are we going to choose? And we want to bring everyone with us. When he sits in front of us, the Father, he's going to say, who'd you bring with you? Did you bring anyone? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, and there's so much love and forgiveness and compassion. You're slow to anger, but yet we have to turn to you. Not our will be done, but yours, Father. According to your law, which is hard. But we thank you for the mercy for when we fall short. That there is a forgiveness. And there is a choice to be made. to choose you or to resist you. We choose you, Father. We choose the beauty with which you've created everything, the wisdom you have, just the unending, unending love for us. We are so grateful. We should be humbled by this. We need to put away pride. Show our neighbor what it means to live in the kingdom of heaven. Help your neighbor. Feed your neighbor. Pray for those who heal our loved ones. Pray for those that keep us safe. Pray for our government, even if you don't like them. We're called to pray for them. Be good stewards of all we've been blessed with. But share the word of God with those who are hurting and those who need to hear it, which is everyone. Show them the choice they can make. A place called heaven, a place called paradise, a beautiful garden where the wheat grows. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.